Hey, listener, this is Ralph from Beer, Blood, and the Bayou, reminding you that if you love our podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes, SoundCloud, Classmates.com, or wherever you consume our show. We also want to remind you that if you have any questions, comments, or would like to unload on our latest podcast, please call us at 405-806-0476 or write us at listener@beerbloodbayou.com. Thanks.
Beer, Blood, and the Bayou contains adult language, graphic descriptions of delicious hop treats, and real crimes perpetrated in and around the greater Houston metropolitan area. Viewer discretion is advised. Bitches.
Whoa.
Hey, that's sound effects.
That's quite the sound effect.
Hey, everybody.
And unfortunately, though, he opened it before we started recording, and I was like, hey, you know what we should do? We should open it. That should be like the first sound we hear.
God knows our budget can't swing another beer.
Absolutely not.
This is the one and only, guys.
Yeah, we're on pins and needles over here, so.
All right, well, so let's get going, everybody. Welcome to Beer, Blood, and the Bayou.
Yep.
Our beer today is Ghost Chili, porter aged in port barrels, sixth anniversary limited release ale, 7.3% alcohol by volume and 36 IBUs.
Mm-hmm. So who makes it?
Lone Pint makes this wonderful little ditty.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty sure I'm going to hate it.
Yep.
Maybe not. I don't know.
Yep.
So what should this taste like to me?
I don't know. I mean, probably ghost peppers. And,
oh, God. What?
Does it say ghost peppers? It does, right?
Ghost chili.
Ghost chili. Yeah, I don't know.
Was it going to be spicy?
Could be, yeah. I mean, it's not going to be like super hot.
Am I going to get heartburn?
I don't know.
Hey, did you see the thing about Zantac?
No. What about Zantac?
Yeah, I think Walgreens is suspending selling it.
Why?
It's got a carcinogen in it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what's really...
God.
You know what's amazing?
Like motor oil.
Do you realize how much shit that we're eating and drinking right now that has carcinogens in it?
Oh, I eat only carcinogens.
I mean, imagine this, right? In about 20 years, they're going to be like, hey, do you remember when we used to drink formaldehyde? Like, that's what it's going to sound like.
Oh, God.
Except it's not going to be formaldehyde. It's going to be like, you know, vitamin C. Like, it turns out it fucking kills everybody and causes cancer. Like, that is what caused cancer this entire time was vitamin C. Anyhow, okay. So you poured it. Let's take a look at it.
It looks like flat Coke.
Very thick motor oil, a little bit of lacing on the glasses.
Oh, God.
Let's do a quick smell.
It's rough. It's not good.
It smells pretty good. It smells. I got a little vanilla.
I get the vanilla.
Get a little bit of sting from the chili. It smells. All right, down the hatch.
Here we go. Oh God,
That's pretty good.
Not good.
It's it's lighter than it looks. It's nice.
I'll give you that. You're right. It is not like a thick body.
It's not as thick as the body's a little bit lighter.
Yeah.
I get a lot of that oak vanilla flavor coming through.
Yeah. To me, it is.
There's just a hint of the chili, just like a little tiny hint. So.
Yeah. I can't see finishing it whole. I mean, this is a 16-ounce beer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big beer. I couldn't finish it.
I mean, if I'm being honest, I really like it. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah. It's just not for me. It's just too. It's too much going on.
Yeah.
I gotta say, this is a Brower. Why did you give this to me?
Yeah.
But I will say that Lone Pint does have a few select choices that I really like. I can't remember offhand.
Yellow Rose. Hello.
Yes.
So you've never been to Lone Pint?
No, I haven't. It's sad because technically it's in my area. Far northwest part of Houston.
Yeah.
Even though I guess I don't live that far. Anyway, this city's so large, you have to really kind of geographically give yourself a quadrant to where you feel comfortable driving to and from.
And see, that's why I live centrally, man. You know why?
Because you can go anywhere?
Because nobody can bitch that I live too far away from them.
Okay, that's true. Yeah. I mean, you really, I guess, differentiate yourself between all the surrounding communities by being centrally located. But... You know, most of your friends kind of live in the top northwest.
I mean, some of us. No, I got really good friends who live, you know, down south, you know, so.
That's true. I mean, who the fuck wants to live down there?
Well, this is the thing, right? Everybody's like, why do you have to live so far away? Like, that's what they tell other people who live, like, in other parts of the city, right? But I'm like, no, man, fuck you. I live centrally. Like, I am like, the closest amongst anybody, unless, like, you have other friends who live in the same part of the city as you.
Aside from saving down distance on driving to see friends, what's the value add living this close to the center of the city?
Well, first of all, for me, it's about my commute, you know, so.
To live by work?
Yeah. Well, no, I don't want to live all the way out there. And then I just kind of you know, there's lots of cool restaurants and bars, like, here, kind of centrally, you know, and I don't know.
Oh, so just, alcohol.
Yeah, it's maybe about that, you know. I'll tell you what. You know what made me move down here, right? Do you remember this?
No.
No, no, no.
Oh, is it because I already lived down here? Well, yeah, that's right. Saw what I was doing, and you were like, I got to get down there. This guy's doing something fucking right.
Okay, aside from that, all right, I fucking moved down here because of Carbach. I wanted to be close, so I wanted to be close to the petrol station. I wanted to be close to Carbach. So the house after you and I were roommates, that the rent house that I moved into, I was less than, I don't know, 600 paces or whatever from petrol station. I could walk there like every night, you know.
Oh yeah.
And then Carbach sold out, and yeah, that's where we're at. So
they suck. Well, hey, let's address the elephant not sitting in the room.
Oh.
No, James.
That's right. We already broke up again, guys. No.
Well, we made him sign a blood contract that when he can't be here for whatever camping reason or whatever it is he's doing, the podcast continues.
Yeah, that's right. No, but actually, James is going to do every other release that we do, right? Is that right?
Yeah, he's going to try and stick to that schedule. He's got a fairly busy fall.
The guy is very busy.
Yeah, he's heavily involved in
how do you want to describe it?
I'd say
nudism.
He's big into medieval lore.
Medieval lore. There we go.
Yeah. So we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, I think you're giving too much away, but
that's right. So well, you know, we miss him. You know, Godspeed.
I like the guy. He's a good guy. Every time he's not here, I feel like we're missing something. Like we're missing a part of ourselves.
Yeah.
Is that how you feel or no?
No, of course. Hey, I'll just say this, you know, in the spirit of us coming back together and good feelings and good tides, I'd say you did a fantastic job last week with your story. I felt it was clear. You had every detail we needed. It was fully fleshed out. I was very, very pleased with that.
Wait. Who are you talking to?
You.
Oh. Oh my God!
I know.
I have goosebumps. Look at that.
I know, it's so rare that I hand out compliments.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, and James, wherever you are, I'll say your jokes. Most of them were on point. Really good.
I didn't laugh really.
Yeah. So I've listened to the podcast actually twice, and it was very very good. Very good zinger.
You listened to your own podcast two times?
Oh, you better fucking believe it.
Wow, that's weird. So yeah, I just kind of can it. You know, I throw it out there and I never listen to it ever again.
No, no, not me.
I'm joking. You know, that's such bullshit, by the way. Like, you ever, like, you know, actors or whatever, like, yeah, you know, I'll make the film and I never watch it.
Yeah, no.
That is such fucking horseshit.
Yeah, I really wouldn't say we're on, like, the Brad Pitt level.
Yes, we are.
Now we look at our art.
We are fucking famous. Do you see this goddamn sign behind us?
That's true.
What
that's
is it? It's like 8.5 by 11. No. What is that? 4 feet.
It's a 5x5.
5x5. Yeah, it's a 5x5 giant square, man.
Yeah, it's pretty great. You know, it's really a beer blood in the bayou sign.
You know what's weird is I have absolutely like no indication of, like, if you say, hey, you know, hey Ralph, how big is that door? Like, I have no idea. I have no relative.
Well, you should always know most doors are about 3 foot wide.
Oh, okay.
And usually 7 to 8 foot. And this year in your house,
he
somehow
just looked at the door, by the way.
Yeah, somehow you afforded 8 foot doors, so good for you. But typical doors are 3 foot by 7 foot. Yeah. Technically, it's more like 6'8", not quite full 7.
Man, that is
they rounded up.
That is such good information.
I know, it's like, do you know a 2x4 is not actually a 2 inch by 4 inch? It's it's like 1 3/4 by 3 3/4.
Like a magician telling you how he did the trick.
That's right. That's the secret is out.
Wow.
So
I'm impressed.
But anyway, Hey, cool. Can I tell you a quick story?
Sure, go ahead.
So I'm very lucky and blessed that I get to drive my kids to school in the morning. Very, very happy. My wife stays home with the infant. I take the two older ones to school.
Yeah, that's nice.
So I don't know how this has worked, but I have created some sort of a weird relationship with the, like it's a standoff every single day with the lady that opens the doors to get the kids out of the car. So I drive my wife's Honda Odyssey. There's a step process you must do to unlock the doors.
Minivan?
Minivan.
Oh, minivan, okay.
Yeah, it's like driving a hug. we get there. You have to, the car's got to be in park. You got to unlock the doors. And I have a button to slide the doors open. But every freaking time that I pull up, this lady just starts yanking on the handle before I can put it in park and B, open the door myself. So, or unlock it. So I'm waiting for this woman to rip my door handle off every morning. So I try to do this thing where I time it, where I just go shoot right past her, throw it in park and hit the unlock button and get the door going to open. Cause you know, it's like the auto door. So it takes a second to get open. And I sometimes I see her. She's one of three ladies, but I always end up right by her. Yeah. And when I see her, I look over at her. It's like she looks at me. I'm looking at her. She's looking at me. I know what she's thinking. I think she's thinking about my door handle. I know she's thinking about my door handle. And I get there, and somehow she manages just to always yank on that handle to try to get it open. And I find it. I know this is crazy. And I told my wife. I said I want to take a $10 Starbucks gift card. Put it into a greeting card. I don't care what holiday it's associated with. And just give it to her and say, hey, thank you for doing your job. I know it can be weird. You're faced with weather every day. But could you please not fucking yank the goddamn door handle every time I pull up to unload these kids? 5 days a week, I got to fuck with this.
Wow. Hey, let me ask you a question. So do you think this is a real war between the two of you? Or is it just kind of perceived from your end? I mean, you think she's completely... She's fully involved in this whole situation, you think? Malice coming from bleeding from her heart when she reaches for your door. Is that...
You know, look, I just don't think she cares.
Really?
Do I think that she thinks I'm talking about this on a podcast? I highly doubt that.
Could you imagine, though, she was?
Yeah.
She's
a big fan?
Yeah, or whatever, but she's like just randomly listening. And she's like, oh my God, he fucking noticed. What about from her side? She's like, these fucking Odyssey drivers and they're fucking stupid magic opening doors. They think they're all fucking hot shit, but let me show you something, motherfucker.
Yeah.
You think what she's doing in her head?
I'd say there's a strong possibility.
Wow.
You know, I mean, I can't rule anything out at this point. Because it's every day. And sometimes I just sneak just a little bit past her,
yeah.
You know, like so she can't get to me. And like I make her work for it, you know. but I mean, like I have this thing now where it's like, you know, I make sure the kids are hugging me while I'm driving so we don't get caught up with her and deal with her. And I'm like unlocking the door around the corner. I'm like, okay, you get out and you get them, okay. Now, one day I'm just gonna drive by with the door wide, propped open and roll them out and say, get on,
yeah.
You know, go to school, learn something.
Yeah.
Get past this nut.
Wow.
But
that's every day, though, huh?
Every day.
Oh, okay.
Cool. But hey, at the same time, I'm blessed. I get to take my kids to school every day.
Thank you.
So, lucky me.
Does it cause? I mean, look, real quick. Sorry, we've probably been talking about this for too long. But does it actually cause stress? Like, is this something that?
Yeah. I'm dripping sweat right now thinking about how upset
really?
This makes me.
Are you sure it's not how hot it is?
It's in this every morning, man.
Oh, really?
It's every morning.
Okay.
Well, 5 days a week.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah. So hey, speaking of cars, you have a Honda. I have an Acura. So I'm downstairs. I'm eating some breakfast this morning. Went to El Bolido. God, I can't. God, I'm going to get fucking murdered by Steve. You know Stevie, right? You remember Stevie?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Stevie, like, you know, Stevie Gonzalez, he knows all the exact 100% fucking pronunciations of everything. Last week, we completely fucked up that beer.
Remember that was a correct pronunciation.
I don't remember, and he's going to kill me again because I don't fucking remember.
Jumix?
Yeah, but it's
Quimix?
I can't remember, but he's going
to
fucking kill us. Anyhow, so I went to El Bolio, and then he butchered me on that, too. It doesn't matter, okay? I got a fucking donut. I'm downstairs. I mean, donut, kolaches, you know, real healthy, right?
Oh, is it Sunday?
Yeah, because today's Sunday. And had, you know, I had this note, this big packet from Honda. And so I drive back in Acura TSX. And so I open it, and there's like all this like huge like red lettering everywhere. And it says recall, emergency urgent recall. Like, you're driving a car that's basically a fucking time bomb. At any moment, the airbag could explode and shoot shards of metal like into you, causing bodily harm, injury, or potentially death, right? And I remember like watching something on the news. I thought this was like a year ago. I think it was Taka, or do you remember the airbag scandal?
It was a while back.
I think it was Taka.
I can't remember, it was the airbag manufacturer,
right,
that they sourced that back to, and they had to replace them in cords and something else.
Right. So I'm reading this note like out loud, and the wife, she's like, yeah, you've been getting these notices for a very long time, and you haven't been reading them. So apparently, I guess I get them all the time. I mean, do you even look at your fucking mail? Like, I don't even.
Fuck no.
I don't even look at my mail. So if like someone's gonna send me something, I wouldn't even know. You know, like I. Anyhow, so
the only time I'm looking at the mail is when I'm expecting something from the mail.
Yeah.
No one's sending me anything on a surprise that I'm like, ooh, look at this.
Yeah. No postcards from San Francisco, right?
Yeah.
But
I have no pen pals anymore.
Yeah.
I did have a Canadian pen pal when I was a kid.
Oh, really? One second. Let me finish my story. We can go all into that. God, these tangents, man. Anyhow, so you know, I'm reading this letter like out loud, and it says even, you know, that the shards, they can like injure people in the back seat and kill people in the back seat. I turn around, there's like my little daughter, and she's like freaking out. I'm like, oh shit, man. But then, like, you know, we get into the car to go get to go run an errand. And, you know, she's freaking out the whole time. And, you know how my brain works. Like, I'm just 100% petrified that this thing's going to fucking blow up and kill the both of us.
Yeah. So but I mean, it's only in the event of an accident.
I know, but I need to go get it fixed. Actually, I don't even think it, you know, I don't even think if you get an accident, I think it just spontaneously.
Oh, wait. If those things could just spontaneously combust with no catalyst, they would be pulling those off the roads.
Well,
they would not be sending you letters.
Dude, you should look at this. You should look at this fucking letter.
Well, they're going to have to say things to scare you into going in to get it taken care of. Yeah. Yes. But if those things were like just ticking time bombs, first of all, we would all know about it. Second of all, you'd be pulled over and taken off the street.
Dude, I'm telling you though, man, like this has been going on for a while. There's been multiple news reports about it. So I'm driving a ticking time bomb, and I don't feel great about it. And I got to drive a lot tomorrow, and I'm kind of scared. I'm not going to lie.
You wuss.
Okay.
Anyhow, you've been driving around this whole time.
Yeah. I know, exactly.
How long have you had the car?
I would rather have been completely ignorant.
It looks like you had the car for like 15 years.
Like, no, I've had it for like 3 years.
It looks like, are you sure?
Yeah, I don't really take good care of it. And that's...
it looks great.
Yeah, so I'm scared. Okay, so what you're saying, Canadian...
No, I had a Canadian pen pal. I believe he was French-Canadian from Montreal.
Was his name Jumpo?
No, I can't remember what his name was. But I just remember part of his letters he'd write were in French.
Oh, did you like that?
No.
Did it make
no,
you I didn't. Hot?
No.
No, okay.
But, yeah, I end up finding out who he was later. He was a flight attendant.
He was a flight attendant.
It was patient zero.
Oh, the HIV epidemic? That guy was French Canadian, by the way.
I know, that's the joke.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't mean to joke about that, but I will say that that myth or that theory has been dispelled. That does not exist.
Oh, he wasn't patient zero?
No, they traced several cases early on in back to him.
Yeah.
But he was not the first person to spontaneously develop the HIV virus.
No. I know he wasn't the first person to develop it, but they basically said that he was responsible for spreading it around the country because he was his flight attendant.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say he was the absolute single patient zero from what I read in this article.
He was a couple of generations up. Yeah. Anyhow, hey, speaking of what is not a rumor, so I was listening to Texas 1031 podcast.
Oh, I love that podcast.
Yeah, me too. And so, by the way, you know, they just started back up.
I know. We took parallel sabbaticals.
It's really weird. Yeah. So apparently they took a lot of time off and they just they started up like a couple days within when we started up.
Yeah, we're setting that trend, I believe.
Yeah, it's really, I don't know. But anyhow, so one thing that they were talking about in their podcast, they were talking about how Crime Junkie, they got into some serious shit because apparently one of the authors of one of the articles that one of the girls read on Crime Junkie, like, she noticed that she was reading it, like, literally word for word, and she wasn't sourcing any of her sources. She wasn't citing any of her sources. And that got me to thinking.
We're going to cite all of our sources.
That's right, going forward, because we have not been doing it.
When you get a Wikipedia source, Wikipedia?
Wikipedia's, yeah, I don't think that's such a big deal. But
Wikipedia then sources other articles and publications.
Correct, right, yeah. So yeah, we're going to do a better job about that. Let's hope we don't get any cease and desist letters. I mean, we're reading a lot of Wikipedia over here. We're not going
to
lie.
Okay? Yeah, and to be fair, most of the dumb articles I pull for my segment are from, like, Channel 39.
Yeah, KPRC. But you got to say that, man. You got to say who wrote it. You know, you got to look at the author and, like, see who wrote it and all that.
Thanks. I'll be sure to make sure your retainer is paid.
Okay.
Thank you for your legal counsel.
No, you're welcome. So, anyhow, we're going to do a better job about that. I feel kind of horrible, you know, as an artist myself, thinking about it.
Oh, that's right. You're the author of Cock Talk, right?
Cock Talk? It was a club hit in the early 2000s.
Yes, they're really hot.
I had tens of people dancing to it. Yeah. In Huntsville, Texas.
Almost a dozen zzz of people dancing to cocktail.
Yeah. So here's the deal. So the song he's referring to, like, I used to make electronic music, and I had, you know, the girlfriend at the time, I had her basically sample. She was saying talk like that, right? You know. And it sounded like
cock talk.
So what he would do is he'd say, "Hey man, can you throw on that cock talk?" It's like, I love that fucking
shit. And then everybody knew that was the name of the song. Yeah.
And then everybody wanted to listen to it.
I believe that was the title of your album.
Yeah,
cock talk. But you spelt it a little different with a K.
Yeah, cock, K-A-L-K.
K-A-U-L-K, cock talk.
Yeah, something like that. But people would... People, they would fucking sing, like, the chorus and shit, and they would just scream cock.
Yeah, I heard they played it at a stadium one time for a sports team coming out.
That's right, they did.
Cock talk.
No, they didn't.
Probably one of your better songs.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed with it. So
that was good stuff.
All right, so you ready to wrap it up? And then we'll go right into the blood section.
Yeah, unless you want to talk about what you did this weekend.
What did I do this weekend? Oh, yeah, I went to Walking Stick yesterday for a one-year-old birthday party.
And you got too drunk to enjoy yourself today.
That's right. So, yeah, I asked Brower to do the beer section because the last thing I wanted to do this morning, I'm just really hungover. My head hurts, and I just don't even want to drink beer. And a chili fucking porter, 13%, is probably not the best idea right now. I want to fucking keep my guts in.
Brower. Brower was sober,
yeah. So.
Probably not tonight, though. We're going out for bingo tonight.
Ooh, where? What bingo?
Bearded Fox.
Oh, Bearded Fox bingo. That sounds fun.
It's actually really a lot of fun. Hmm.
Do the kids like it?
Yes, kids love it.
Man, maybe I'll go down there with the kids.
Bring it on.
Interesting.
We're bringing our kids, and a couple other friends are bringing theirs.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. What about you? What did you do this weekend?
I stuck around the house and got stuff taken care of.
That is... Yeah. You know what that... So,
pretty boring.
You know what that sounds like? Okay, so, like, I don't know, I'm at work or something, and I ask somebody, like, hey, what'd you do this weekend? And then I see them think about what they actually did, and then they give me that fucking canned response, right?
Well, I did do some work that I needed to do, and 9 episodes of Game of Thrones. Okay, wife and I are currently in a complete series rewatch, start to finish. Yeah. We did not rewatch the last season based on how it turned out. It felt too raw. It was not great. So I did the entire series on audiobooks again. I'm going to re-listen to that right now, too. And we decided to go back to the very beginning and rewatch every single episode and see if we just catch the wave and the flow of the show and don't have all that time in between one season to the next, make sure that, you know, see if we can make this last season worth a shit.
Interesting. That's
serious television watching.
Oh, no, it is. Hey, speaking of television watching, I got the wife into Sopranos.
Oh, I love to hear that.
Yeah, so she, you know, I was trying to really sell it because, I fucking wanted to watch it again, you know, because it's been so long and it's such a good show. And so the way I sold it is like, hey, listen, it's about like all aspects of like Tony Soprano's life, like his family. There's a lot of like, you know, subplots about his daughter, his wife, and all the stuff that they're going through. So it's not just all mobsters and killing and all that. And she really liked it. She was really
good. So. You know, I follow some of the Sopranos fan groups and whatever. And there's one fan group that the guy who played Vito, you remember him?
Vito Corleone.
No, not Vito Corleone. The guy who played Vito, the homosexual individual. Remember the guy that got busted, Finn?
Oh, yeah. Vito. Johnny Cakes.
Yeah, Johnny Cakes. Sorry. Johnny Cakes, yeah. So that guy, he is probably one of the more pathetic of all, everybody, because he drives around with like pictures and like stuff in his trunk of his car.
Yeah,
and you gotta pay him like $15 or $20 for a handshake, $25 for a picture.
Yeah.
I mean, everything.
Wow.
You want to talk to him? It costs money.
Wow.
And he just opens up his trunk. He's like, "What do you want to buy?" And he sells shit. And yeah. So look, I understand, man. That was your cash cow, but. I mean, figure out a new angle. It feels very gross and petty.
What a dick.
I mean, look, go to Comic-Cons. I understand. I can't say that. I don't know. I don't know how to live off of a fame that, I mean, he was only in like, I don't mean 25% of the show, maybe?
A handful.
Yeah. So, but a very memorable character nonetheless. So, Johnny Cakes. People don't forget that.
Johnny Cakes.
Very cool. Good for him. I mean, if he can make money on it until he dies, whatever. I mean, what am I to stop him from doing that?
Now, let me ask you a question, though. Let's say you could pull like your car up in a brewery, open your Odyssey van doors, and fucking people just come over and start buying shit from you. Would you do it?
Every weekend? No. I mean,
every day? Yes.
Every day? No. I mean, how humiliating is that? What if someone's like, do you have change? What if you don't have? What if he's always got his 220s and it's 25 for a picture? Are you then doing deals? You're like, I'll give you two pictures for 40. You know, you can have a wristband, a koozie, and a headshot. You know, tell your friends. You know,
yeah. I kind of think about like, you know, other ways to kind of make some side scratch. And one of the things I'm kicking around with No Penis, you know, my nephew,
yeah,
is opening up a worse stand called Your Worst Nightmare. What do you think?
You like the name? That sounds like it would turn off people before
Why?
It turned them on.
Why?
Because you can't, I mean, it's like, okay, I get the joke, but I mean, how does your joke taste? You know, you have to have a good quality product before you can attach
some funny fucking name. I know what you mean. So yeah, so basically we're just cooking wieners, man. Like chopped onions, sauerkraut, fucking caramelized onions and just German mustard, dude, like on a really nice...
That's very limiting.
I think it's fucking straight. It's like to the point.
Well, I mean, you know, where
no
are you going to sell this?
Boom, you know?
Where are you going to sell this?
I don't know.
Wait, is this the fire pizza entre new?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe do it under the fire pizza group Pop of up? Companies. Yeah, so.
Are you going to invest?
Oh, what, fire pizza?
Yeah.
No, man. The your worst nightmare. Your worst nightmare. Do you not get it?
Worst nightmare.
Your worst nightmare with apostrophe.
No, R-E. I get it.
Your worst nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, but who's? I mean, is this like a Halloween pop up restaurant?
I don't know. I just thought it'd be funny, man. Like you know.
But
you
can't eat funny.
You know. In Austin, they have the best worst. Do you remember the best worst?
Yeah, but I mean, that's Austin.
It was fucking delicious, man.
Yeah.
Like the only thing I wanted, like after fucking 26 shots in 4 hours, like. Nicole, what's her name?
Bacchus.
Yeah, after Nicole Bacchus, you know, after 24 shots in 4 hours, I want to eat a best worst, man. And it's so good. Like, dude, in New Orleans, Lucky Dog, right? Lucky
wow,
Dogs are
totally different.
Dude, Lucky Dogs are only good at fucking post 2 a.m.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not talking about what you're serving. What I'm saying is the marriage of what you're serving, which is a very limiting product with a very... like, okay, I mean, I wouldn't go there because I don't like your name. Because I'm like, okay, I'm not, it was just some kind of fucking dumb joke you and your buddy kicked around and now you're trying to make $1 million off of it. Fuck you. You know, I don't play that game.
Why do you always crush my dreams?
I'm not. I'm building you up.
No, it's a really good idea, and I'm going to fucking do it. No, I'm going to do it. You'll see.
You'll see, man.
All right. You ready to wrap this up?
Yeah.
Okay. On to the murder. See you guys in just a bit, and we will be right back. And we're back.
Hey, everybody. Back with the bummer.
The bummer section.
It should be beer, bummer, and bayou.
Blood, bummer. Not beer, great. Bummer. It's never good news, is it?
No. And by the way, I'd like to circle back to something that I know we discussed in our first couple of episodes.
Bad news for people who like good news.
We don't want to ever come off as joking about this kind of stuff. We do take this very seriously and feel deeply and, mournful for the victims. And, you know, if we don't talk about this, then their stories will go away forever. Here's an opportunity to potentially make those stories go on. And hopefully we will always remember the people and the victims here in all these horrific crimes.
I always have a really hard time. You know, one of the things I struggle with is like, oh, you know, it'd be cool to go talk to this person or that person. Or, you know, along the way, sometimes we run into people who are victims and we have a potential chance to interview them, but it's a really, really hard sell for me to go up to somebody and say, we run this podcast called Beer, Blood, and the Bayou. Would you like to be on it?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, you can't do it.
Well, you know, the problem is people are like, well, what are you going to make fun of me? I mean, what are you going to
exactly.
You know, laugh at my pain. And I hope that we never come off like that.
Yeah. It's a delicate balance. And just know it, you know, from our hearts, it comes from a good place. It's, you know, we don't try not to take this too lightly. And just, for all you guys out there, just try to, you know, respect these people.
Stop killing each other, man.
Okay, or that. Yeah, that's anyhow. All right.
To be fair, circumstantially, some of the things can be kind of, funny is not the word, but there can be some crazy things that seem be interesting to talk about with these individual cases.
Yep. So today is a little bit lighter on the lighter side. It's not a murder. There was not a murder. There almost was a murder. But this story drips with Houston. It is a story that captivated the national headlines a few years ago. And it's something
quite frankly embarrassed the city and embarrassed the program this is about.
You think so?
Oh, for sure.
Huh.
Yeah, I mean, there's no one who was not of sound mind in that time that does not associate this agency with what happened. Like, yeah. you, when you hear about it, you're like, oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, all right.
Enough vagueness.
Yeah, enough vagueness, right. So this is the story. It's the astronaut diaper love triangle. How do you think? Do you think that's pretty good? Is that a good title? Or
that works. Peeing for love or diapering your way across America. You know, shot from space. Okay. The diaper love story.
So as mentioned earlier, we're going to start. You know, try to definitely name our sources and talk about, you know, where we pull information. So all this information was from Ranker.com. It's an article by a guy named Jen Jeffers. And then, of course, good old Wikipedia.
Thank you, Wikipedia.
Is going to be starting us off. So, number of sources here on the Wikipedia article. Lisa Nowak. So, Lisa Marie Nowak, born May 10th, 1963, is a former naval flight officer and NASA astronaut. So born in Washington, D.C., she was selected by NASA in 1996 and qualified as a mission specialist in robotics.
Man, that's awesome.
Pretty smart, huh? Nowak flew aboard Space Shuttle Discovery during the STS-121 mission in July 2006, where she was responsible for operating the robotic arms of the shuttle and the International Space Station.
I wonder if that was her only job. I mean, she had to sit there until it's like time to do that stupid shit. And then like, okay, Lisa.
Well, Lisa, you're up.
Get your fucking robotic arm.
Move that fucking arm.
Yeah.
We got a flux capacitor. We got a flux capacitor to fix up here. All right. So
I'm sure she has other little duties, like some deck swabbing and some mast hoisting.
I don't know. Yeah. So on February 5th.
Some nautical terms.
Yeah, there you go.
Get to the poop deck.
Oh, gross. Okay, so
I think it was David Tell. He's talking about how sex toys sound like nautical terms. He's like, strap on the dildos, laddies. Get to the poop deck.
Okay. So on February 5th, 2007, she was arrested in Orlando, Florida, and subsequently charged with the attempted kidnapping of U.S. Air Force Captain Colleen Shipman, who was romantically involved with astronaut William Ofelin, yeah. So Nowak was released on bail and initially pleaded not guilty to the charges, which included attempted kidnapping, burglary with assault, and battery. Her assignments to the space agency as an astronaut
the biggest crime.
What are you talking about?
Driving with a diaper?
Hey, we're going to get to that, okay? Sorry. Calm down. That's like everybody. That's the only thing that people are fixating in this fucking case. Is
I hear NASA, I think diapers. I think road trips.
Yeah.
I think urinating on yourself. I mean.
Fuck the moon landing.
Let's do a word association game. NASA.
Diapers.
Diapers.
Dude, I think the first thing I think of when I think of NASA, I think of Tang and Neil Armstrong.
Yeah.
All right.
Actually, when I think of NASA, I think about the last time I was at the Space Center, and I was like, oh, this is what the Soviet space station must look like, because it was wildly out of date. I mean, I was like, what year is this? It was like late 80s. I was like, I expected to see Gorbachev walk by.
With that imprint of Alaska on his forehead. All right. So Nowak was released on bail, initially pleaded not guilty to the charges, which included attempted kidnapping, burglary, assault, and battery. I already read that. Her assignment to the space agency was terminated by NASA effective March 8th, 2007. So on November 10th, 2009, Nowak agreed to a plea deal with prosecutors and pleaded guilty to the charges. Okay. So that is the intro. And so then there's a lot of really, really good information about her. In this this article, like I was saying, from Jen Jeffers, from Ranker.
Wait, there's more info besides she drove with a diaper to kidnap her lover's lover.
All right, so Nowak's life came crumbling down in 2007 after she was arrested in Florida. At the time, she was a well-known Navy captain, and her arrest came as a shock. So, what was her crime? So, it was attempting to kidnap U.S. Air Force Captain Colleen Shipman. So Shipman had recently begun a romance with William Ofelin. Coincidentally, Nowak was also romantically linked to Ofelin. God, I can't say his name. O-E-F-E-L-E-I-N?
Ofelin.
Ofelin. Yeah. So she was having an affair with him while she was still married to her husband.
Mm.
So Ofelin broke off the relationship at the end of 2006 and started seeing Shipman. I mean, that would make anybody mad, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So after discovering her old flame was now warming Shipman's bed, Nowak drove close to 1,000 miles from Houston to Orlando to confront the unsuspecting woman in person. So she knew Shipman was landing that evening at the Orlando airport, and Nowak was determined to get there at the exact same time, allegedly driving 14 hours in an adult diaper.
Yeah, how much time did that really shave off?
I don't know. Well, you got to think, though. It's like, so if you're 14 hours, and I mean, depends on what you're drinking. And so she's, she is a woman on a mission, literally, right? You know?
Yeah.
And so she's trying to, and so she knows when this, I guess what I don't understand is, she knows.
Oh, wait.
Yeah,
do you think she had a rule where, hey, if it's number two, I'm stopping?
Maybe. I don't know.
Like, I could draw the line at sitting in my own, like, solid filth.
I don't know.
I'll sit in my liquid filth.
I don't know, but it seemed like, though, that she didn't really plan this out, so it seemed like it was something that was somewhat impulsive, and because she was trying to get there at the exact same time when this chick landed, right, so she could confront her. So I guess that's the only reason. Like, I mean, first of all, like, who else would, you know, who else other
but
than...
But, you know, this
wait,
is
wait,
the-
wait, real quick. Who else other than an astronaut would be like, you know what? I'm going to grab some diapers from work. I'm going to fucking throw them on.
To your point. So that is the scientist in her, like this pinpoint accuracy of when she needs to be in a specific place. She did the math. She's like, okay, let's see, 14 hours, Orlando to Houston, I'm going to stop half a dozen times to TT. Okay, if I just, you know, average ARV, average restroom visit is going to be about 15 to 17 minutes. If I just eliminate those completely, I shave an hour, right?
Yeah. All right, so Shipman, so her the person that she was going to attack. So Shipman knew nothing of Nowak's past affair with William, and was taken by surprise when she noticed someone following her in the dark parking lot.
She heard her diaper crinkle.
She could hear the swishing sounds of Nowak's pants.
Oh yeah,
there you go. That she gained on her, and Shipman dashed her car.
And he said, change me, and then get in the car.
And locked herself inside. So Nowak, beating on her window, then fabricated a story about being a helpless traveler who was lost in the dark. Despite the oddity of the situation...
Couldn't find her wipes.
Shipman cracked her window to hear more before being doused in the face with...
Pepper spray.
Huh? Pepper spray.
Oh,
yeah.
There you go.
Quote, she blasted me with what felt like acid, Shipman said. So I stomped on the gas and wondered if there was going to be a gun pointed at my head. At a later hearing in 2007, police testified they searched Nowak's vehicle after the attack and found maps of the area and the airport layout as well as...
Wait, what year was this?
2007. Wait, 2006?
Wait, so...
Wait, what's... What? Why? Go ahead.
So she had like Rand McNally maps or she had
probably
like-
MapQuest. Brower at this time? Oh,
she probably printed up those sheets with all those directions.
Yeah, probably.
Wow.
So police testified they searched Nowak's vehicle and after the attack and found maps of the area of the airport layout as well as a letter Nowak apparently wrote to her ex-lover, her ex-lover, his mother, which I guess that's fucking crazy. And apparently they also found much, much worse. So Lisa Nowak's actions when she arrived in Orlando suggested she planned to do a lot more than just talk to Colleen Shipman. Surveillance cameras caught Nowak wearing a wig and an oversized trench coat as she followed Shipman from the terminal to her car. Police would later find a duffel bag full of incriminating evidence in Nowak's car, a BB gun, a 4-inch knife, surgical tubing. What the fuck is that for? And a steel mallet. God. What are you going to do with the tubing? That's really weird. Along with the weapons, they also found a stash of used and clean diapers. There you go, Brower. Go for it.
Oh, man. Wait. She kept the... Well, I guess she would...
Yeah, efficiency.
Well, you know what? Hey, all jokes aside, she could have just hummed those out the window.
Yeah, she could have.
And she didn't. She didn't litter. So, you know.
But what I don't understand, though, is like, so she used one. Then she had to switch into a clean one, right? So they found multiple used diapers. But, like, how are you...
Autopilot, bro.
No, I mean, no, not on the car. I mean, fuck, dude. Like, you have to use both hands. So she's probably... Unless she's just traveling in the diaper, like, just, you know?
Well, yeah.
So she's taking the diaper off with one hand. Look, and then... I'm just trying to logistically
people get dressed while they drive all the time.
Unless maybe she's just pulled over real quick to change a diaper. Do you think maybe just real quick, like
if she can do that, why wouldn't she just piss out the door?
I don't know, because like when you're, you know, you can't just piss out the door when you're a chick. I mean, you got to like pop a squat and like it's a busy highway.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but
yeah, I mean, we're asking a lot of questions here. I mean, but logistically, like I'm curious. I don't know. I can't help it.
She kept them. She changed herself in the car.
Okay.
Well, hey, let's not forget this lady's an astronaut. You know,
I know she's fucking she's brilliant.
Yeah, so
right?
You know, right. She can figure out.
Yeah, they don't let anybody into that astronaut corps. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, I believe that's one of the tests.
I'm talking to you, Buzz Aldrin.
Yeah, it's one of the tests. Can you drive 5 miles over the speed limit and change your diaper?
At the same time.
At the same time. Without, and they have to go through a cone zone.
Yeah. All right, so police arrested her, and a short time later in the same parking lot as she tried to dump her disguises in a trash can. So Bill and Nowak, they met 2 years earlier during a winter training exercise for NASA in Canada. God, I didn't know they did winter exercise training in Canada.
Well, that's where the snow is.
So although Bill was divorced, at the time they began a steamy affair while Nowak was still married, making their connection illegal in the eyes of the military. So keeping the relationship a secret as she prepared for their 2006 trip into space wasn't exactly easy.
Oh, wait. This begs a question.
Yeah.
There has to have been an instance of this multiple times. Someone has gotten laid in space, right?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Were they on the same mission?
No, they weren't. But to your point, you're not allowed to, right? So it's like against NASA protocol. But you know somebody fucking did it, right?
Oh, I mean, how could you not? Yeah. You're in like weightless environment. You have to have tried.
You have to at least try. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. for scientific purposes, they have to know. I mean, could they like use this to determine whether or not someone can get impregnated through this?
But that's because
you're in a weightless environment.
Hasn't happened, pervert. Okay, let's keep going. All right, so they're keeping the relationship secret when she prepared for a 2006 trip into space, which wasn't easy. Pressure of her crumbling home life and high maintenance career began to take its toll. She was quickly falling apart on the inside. So according to a psychologist at her trial, quote, "I would think that all those stressors that she had while having to be the super mom taking care of three kids at the same time, gearing up for a mission that was very, very much in the public eye in the wake of the Columbia tragedy." Ooh, don't forget about that. Remember the Columbia tragedy?
This seems like we're stretching here. Yeah. We're region.
Well, this is your defense lawyer saying this shit. So, it'll be extraordinarily stressful for anybody. When Bill called off the affair and said he just wanted to be friends, Nowak was devastated. So based on the contents of a letter she wrote to his mother during the affair.
This is why you ghost people.
She was deeply in love and planned to leave her husband for Bill. Quote, "I love him more than I knew possible," Nowak wrote to his mother. "Thank you very much for being there for me and for us." It was clear that Nowak believed that they were going to be together forever until Colleen Shipman came along.
Wow, these astronauts.
Man. I know, man. They're okay. So
shows that in any industry, there's always going to be some sort of
psychopath.
Intermingling, some fraternizing. It doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
You'd like to think that to reach that level of the highest intellect or whatever it takes to get to that point where you're NASA employee, you're of certain moral character.
Yeah.
Obviously not.
I'll tell you what, man, when I'm, I'm at work, I'm looking at people and stuff, and every job I've ever had, there's always these secret affairs, that go on. I'm just wondering who's fucking who here, cause it happens, right? It happens in every fucking industry.
Oh, right? Yeah, for sure.
So anyhow. Okay. So, Colleen Shipman, she was 29. When she met Bill at a house party in Orlando, she found him to be handsome, charming, and polite. And he's a fucking astronaut. So she enjoyed his attention that evening. The two, they hit it off, and she was impressed by his role as a notable astronaut with a shining career. But she would soon find out Bill also came with romantic baggage, namely Lisa Nowak, with whom he had just broken up. So Shipman had no idea about the bizarre love triangle she would become a part of with Nowak. Although Bill told Shipman about his past affair, he kept Nowak's identity secret and promised the relationship was over. Quote, "He didn't mention any names or anything, and he said, I had this talk with her and we're going to remain friends, but there's no romance there or anything." That's what Shipman said. So when Bill returned from his spaceship, isn't that great? It's like, hey, I'm going to be in space. I'll call you when I get back.
Yeah.
It's just normal conversation.
"Sorry, my nutty ex came and tried to kidnap you. I would have been here, but I was in space."
Right.
Sorry.
When Bill returned from his space trip, Shipman traveled from Florida to Houston to visit him. According to her, it was a celebration. We were pretty much inseparable once he got back. Shipman soon left for a flight home to Orlando with no idea that Lisa had left earlier that same night. In a BMW headed for Florida. All right, so with the flight information stolen from Bill's computer, Nowak was armed with a bag of weapons, pepper spray, and a nefarious plan to make her enemy pay. So Nowak had reason to be jealous. Her ex-lover was mad for Colleen Shipman, and there was nothing that she could do about it. They had been exchanging steamy texts and emails for over multiple months. And I did, by the way, I did try really, really hard to get a copy of these emails and texts, but.
Yeah, did you get a sample of the diaper?
So where was I? Yeah, so they've been exchanging steamy texts and emails for months, and Nowak was sure that they were having an affair. She had kept the keys to Bill's apartment and let herself in before the attack, using the computer passwords that she knew Nowak read through his private emails. So according to a reporter, Lisa let herself in and looked into his computer and saw not only some of the steamy emails, but she also found a flight itinerary.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, so that's that was when Nowak knew what she had to do. So Nowak was ultimately charged with attempted kidnapping, battery, attempted vehicle burglary, and destruction of evidence. Despite the nature of her crime, Nowak only served 2 days in jail and was given probation. She was less than honorably discharged from the Navy and kicked out of the space program. She also fell in rank, losing her role as captain for the title of commander, a shift that affected her pay grade and her pension. She remained composed during the decision and did not publicly comment, although it was obvious that she was close to tears. I would think so. But Shipman, who was the victim in the crime, also suffered professionally as a result of the attack and was unofficially demoted by the Air Force. Quote, "I had always been the good kid. It was really hurtful. It seemed like everything I did was under a microscope." God, I bet, man. So Nowak's lawyers had argued the police did not have enough evidence to support such a severe charge. Strangely, one of the biggest sticking points in the case was the question of the diaper, Brower's favorite subject. Nowak's lawyers claimed it was a preposterous fabrication meant to sensationalize the trial to the public.
Boy, did it.
Although there were toddler-sized diapers found in Nowak's car, her defense team insisted there were never any used by Nowak. She had admitted, however, to wearing a diaper when questioned by the police as a way to avoid bathroom stops along the way.
So thank God.
There is a diaper.
Yeah, so thank God she didn't kill anybody, because would you want to be killed by the diaper murderer?
Yeah.
You know, like that would be, they would have to tie that in.
How embarrassing.
Yeah.
Right, but apparently she did stop, as police later found a receipt in her car proving that she had paid cash to sleep briefly at a Days Inn halfway between Houston and Orlando. She did stop. Huh. She could have taken all the shit she wanted in that hotel room.
Yeah, what's up with these diapers?
Maybe she did stop to do a number two, but she just wanted to say that she stopped. Maybe she got that weird, like, you know, number two thing, right? Like, you know, some people, they just won't take a dump in public.
Well, maybe she was nervous and she was going to go kill someone.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, but who knows, right? I mean, does it really...
Well, she's out on probation, so we can probably ask her.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, well, I'm going to actually get to that here in a second. Anyway, so, yeah, where was I? Okay, so, yeah, so she briefly stopped at a Days Inn halfway between Houston and Orlando. Diaper or not, it is this one lingering detail that has been permanently seared into the public's memory.
Oh, certainly in mine.
Oh, we know.
I am John Q. Public.
Lisa Nowak had several colleagues at NASA who supported her after the incident, including her superior Steve Lindsay and fellow astronaut Chris Ferguson.
Yeah, I heard they really stuck to her like a diaper.
They both appeared in court on her behalf and spoke of Nowak's positive qualities in the NASA space program. Quote, "We are here supporting Lisa," said Colonel Lindsay, who knew Nowak for 11 years before the incident with Shipman.
Yeah, I heard him say, he said, "We're here to wipe away any of her issues she's had, and if you continue to prosecute her, you're in trouble."
Okay, so, quote, "Our primary focus is our health and well-being and taking care of her and keeping her safe and getting her with her family so they can deal with this very private and difficult matter." Accused of attempted kidnapping with the intent to inflict bodily harm and burglary of a vehicle using a weapon, Nowak could have faced a life sentence. So instead, Nowak pled guilty to a lesser charge of felony burglary and misdemeanor battery and was able to avoid prison. Because she had no criminal history and was a reputable position at NASA, she was only given a year of probation. In addition to this punishment, Nowak was assigned 50 hours of community service and the task of writing an apology letter to her victim. Nowak was also forced to complete an 8-hour anger management course, within the first 30 days of her probation and some further counseling. Following the attack, Shipman lost weight and endured ongoing stress and anxiety. She couldn't concentrate, felt constantly frightened, and began to carry a concealed weapon to protect herself.
Oh, God. You fucking brain.
Although deeply scarred by the attack, Shipman finally made peace with Nowak after 9 long years. Her reflections on the case sparked a change in her career, and she began writing about her experiences. Being a writer, quote, being a writer is cathartic. Time is a way of making the past more poetic. You know, I saw this interview, and she was on 48 hours, not 48 hours, hard copy, and she came out of the woodwork because she's trying to sell her fucking book. So,
well, yeah, if she handles this properly, if she's humble about it, and she's, you know, cops to it, it's like, yeah, you know, I'm the fucking diaper astronaut.
Yeah,
you know, she can have a talk show.
Yeah,
let's get real. She could be a fucking judge somewhere. Jerry Springer has got a judge show, for the love of God.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, who doesn't want the diapered astronaut deciding their small claims?
Yeah. So yeah, she ended up, her and Bill actually ended up getting married, so that romance was real, and they now live in Alaska. What do you think about that?
Good for them.
Yeah, Alaska's great. So anyhow, that is the diaper love triangle of Houston, Texas. So
yeah, well, that's good stuff.
Yeah, astronaut diaper love triangle. So that's that. So I guess we'll just go ahead and wrap it up. And
yeah,
Brower, are you ready for a bayou section?
Oh boy, I have a doozy.
How excited are you?
I'd say 7.825.
Okay, cool. All right, we will be right back after this.
Out of 7.826.
And we're back.
Hey, everybody, back with Brower's Bayou coming at you. Okay, so this is our big, big announcement. And citing our sources here, old, what's his name? Alan Jims. He's writing for Homes of the Heights, which, by the way, very interesting. It's a realtor's website. He's now providing content. So guess what? Good move.
Good for him.
That's right. So a swingers club is creating quite a big fuss in this area of Houston. A new swingers club contacted the official Houston Heights real estate firm, Home of the Heights, for a list of locations available for rent or purchase. The real estate broker was reluctant to send over a list of properties, but it is against the law to turn away any client or discriminate against any client. However, the broker talked with the owners and let them know that this is not the area for that type of business. The owners have taken into consideration that this is a family-centric neighborhood with strong family beliefs and are reconsidering. They're looking at locations in the Houston area, Houston Heights. The prime area is like 19th Street and Shepherd, which is the heart of the Houston Heights. For those that are not aware, the definition of a swingers club is a singles club where couples exchange partners for sexual pleasure that include bisexual and trisexual and any type of sexual you can think of.
Trisexual?
That's right. Because there's no deed restrictions in our wonderful city, the majority, and then also in the majority of the Houston Heights, it is possible for a swingers club to open. And very easy, since they don't serve liquor and do not require a liquor license. Many homeowners are furious and say that they will be putting up a fight to battle this new sex house. However, not much you can do for a business not serving liquor. Behind closed doors, a company can do anything they wish within reason and the law. Sarah J., who likes to remain anonymous, says her entire family will be protesting the business if opened on her street.
Huh.
So, wow. Can you believe that?
I mean, I'd probably check it out.
I mean, you got to go once. You
know, just once.
See what kind of burgers they got.
Yeah.
are they serving food?
Man, it's really comfy in here. I think I'll save for the park.
That's right. Hey, I don't know you, but you want to go in that back room? Hey, Larry, I know you. So, okay, I got another little ditty here from a bar. So, this is actually from CW39 up in Akron, Ohio. You know, this is, I know this isn't Houston, but pretty interesting nonetheless. Controversial new drink is being sold at a downtown Akron bar and is drawing harsh criticism from people across the country. The red, white, and blue concoction is called the 9/11 and is reportedly being sold at a bar called Karma Cafe. A picture of the shot was posted on Instagram. Today's special is the 9/11. Only $4. Originally, it also said, because why not capitalize on something that happened 18 years ago? Wow. So
that's heartless.
Yeah, no.
What's it look like, though? Let me see. Go back.
It is. It looks like a building that's been blown up.
Oh, no. It's like red, white, and blue.
Yeah, but it's, look, it's got...
Oh, there's smoke.
It's got cream coming down on it.
It's kind of...
No, it looks like smoldering ashes.
Oh, and like blood. Okay. Yeah.
So that's in poor taste. And
that's fucked up.
And we're a murder podcast, and trust us, we know what poor taste is.
Yeah.
So, sad nonetheless. Okay. So, did you guys hear about that skydiver out in California that died?
Wait, when you say guys, are you talking to me or like
fan? What? Fan.
Oh, okay.
A skydiver was killed by a truck. This is another story from CW39. After landing in North California Highway, a witness told the California Highway Patrol he saw a parachute fall from the sky and toward the highway. So the guy blew his landing and landed on the highway and got killed by an 18-wheeler.
Oh my God!
Yeah, you jump out of a plane to die in an auto accident. Isn't that crazy?
No, this shouldn't be laughing. That's
no, it's terrible.
That's horrible, man.
Yeah, I know. But this is a pretty interesting story here. This is out of the Houston area. There's another CW39 here from... Actually, I'm sorry. I looked at this initially. I thought it said Freeport, Texas. It's actually Freeport, New York.
Who wrote the article, though?
This is an article. It doesn't say. Tribune, okay. Maine Media Wire.
Cool.
Poorly conceived and executed is what Freeport superintendent of schools had to say about a lesson plan from J.W. Dodd Middle School social studies teacher. The district confirmed in a statement that one of its own educators appeared to make light of a painful time in our country's history and the lessons surrounding the Reconstruction era. The teacher told three separate classes to develop captions for these photos of African-American slaves and to make it funny and don't bore me.
That is
It's unbelievable, and a teacher like that should be fired. Michael Bailey, a parent of the school, told WPIX. The superintendent said the teacher was removed from the classroom and issued an apology. That was not enough for some, but others came to the teacher's defense. She's a good teacher, said Savannah, one of the teacher's students. Both she and her mother feel this has been taken out of context. She didn't mean it like that. Some people took offense, and I knew how she meant it. A local pastor and community advocate, Pastor Arthur Mackey, is pushing further and said these types of lessons are becoming all too common. Earlier this year, his focus on teachers in the Roosevelt School District's posting images of nooses led to their ouster.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's part of the cancel culture, man.
Wow.
We are calling for this teacher's license to be revoked by New York State. A strong message has to be sent because this is happening all across the nation, said Mackey. Okay, so I pulled this article to discuss one thing.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on cancel culture?
Cancel culture?
Yeah. Have you heard that term?
I haven't, no.
Well, cancel culture is like it's anybody that falls out of that falls from any sort of like preconceived set of standards. You know, like this teacher, well, yeah, some poor taste, probably poor judgment, but does she deserve to lose her ability to teach? She went to college for this. She has studied for this.
Yeah.
What if she's one of Bernie's, you know, followers, is looking to get her debt paid off, you know, because she could be sitting on $20,000-$40,000 worth of debt just to get this education degree.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to children, probably not. I mean, like, I don't think I want somebody like that teaching my kids. That's
but
just me, though.
But. This sounds like, to me, might be an isolated incident. What if this is the only blemish on her? Is it time to light the torches and get the pitchforks?
All I'm saying,
what do you expect this woman to do?
No, let me say something. I'm just telling you, I don't think I would ever do something like that, though. Like,
me either.
Not like I do a bunch of dumb shit when I'm drunk, you know, but... I mean, I don't, like, turn into a racist or anything.
I mean, okay, let me put a hypothetical to you.
Okay.
Let's say all of your social media efforts culminated into this crazy, like, career where you are now a big-time personality. And everyone's hanging on every word you're saying. And
they already are.
Exactly. So let's just say you are asked to host the Oscars.
Yeah.
Do you have anything in your history that is available, digitally or otherwise, that would probably say, this guy's not so great?
I don't think so.
You don't have a text message out there. You don't have a recording of your voice somewhere. You don't have something out there.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either for myself, but I'm sure.
Well, you're a different story.
Well, let's think about this. I've been an adult for over 20 years. Society has changed significantly in the last 20 years.
Yes.
So what might have been acceptable, let's say in the late 90s, maybe not so much in 2019.
No.
So I think that we are all subject to cancel culture. We just don't realize it. We just don't have jobs are out there. We're not putting ourselves out in the public eye to be that level of scrutiny. Hear about the guy from College Game Day? Puts his number out there on Venmo, says, send me money for beer.
Yeah.
You hear about what happened to him?
Yep.
Yeah.
And go ahead and tell the story.
Some old tweets came out that he did, that he said, that were considered to be racist. And he actually just shared, I believe he just shared Tosh.0 tweets, right? So, and then whenever the local paper that he's from, the article, the author decided to include that in his reporting. Said, and he did some racial tweets. So guess what? Anheuser-Busch cut ties with him because he had these people were sponsoring him. Well, really quick, sorry. Backstory is, guy asked for beer money on national TV. It was overwhelmed with donations. Anheuser-Busch had to donate some money. Venmo donated money, and then came out that he said some racist tweets. So guess what happens? Everyone pulls their backing from him, and all these charities that were going to eventually get money are not getting money now because some idiot reporter decided to include that. The guy was 16 at the time, 16 years old, and he shared something that could be racist.
Yeah.
So what happened to that reporter, you ask? Guess what? He lost his job because some questionable things that he did came out.
Wow, really?
So he got bit by himself. I mean, he did this to this kid. I mean, you can obviously tell. I mean, look, you can tell the way the story was worded that he didn't, the writer of this article that came out did not like this kid for whatever reason. Probably his. I don't know. I'm not gonna speculate. But it was obvious the way he wrote it, and he felt like he had to include that. Like, where in the story? What part of the of what's going on here has anything to do with him having racist tweets or something that could be looked at now as racist or some sharing some things that are, it's ridiculous. But then the writer for that article lost his job. So good for them.
Wait, real quick. So I follow, I don't know if anybody on here follows Worst Beer Blog. The guy's awesome. You really should. He just finds all this drama that's happening within the beer industry, and he puts everything on Instagram, and he does like a really, really good fucking job. Lots of people send him stuff. I send him stuff all the time. I wish people would send me cool shit like this, but anyhow. So this is from Worst Beer Blog, and basically that guy you're talking about, Carson King. This brewery, this is a brewery in Illinois, and I think it's called Geneso, Geneseo, Geneso Brewing Company. Okay, anyhow,
yeah.
So this guy, Glenn Cole, head brewer out there, he wrote Carson King a note. He said, "Dear Carson King, we are appalled at the actions taken by the Des Moines Register and Anheuser-Busch InBev Company, which were made public yesterday. We at Geneso Brewing understand the growth that happens in an individual from the ages of 16 to 24. It is the same reasoning the legal age of an adult in the eyes of the law is 18, that 21 is the legal drinking age. We also understand that the inappropriate jokes people like yourself and Des Moines Register journalist Aaron Calvin made 8 years ago on social media were unfortunately more acceptable back then, just as the inappropriate advertisement made by Anheuser-Busch for the black and tan product were acceptable in the early 1900s. You want to see it?
Yeah, show it to me.
Dude, check this out.
Oh, my. Okay.
Describe now, what you're seeing.
So it's a... You can tell it's like almost turn of the century, early 1900s advertisement. Anheuser-Busch across the top, a beer bottle, mostly dark colored with gold labels. It says black and tan, and at the bottom, there is two young, see, it looks like African-American children pulling what looks like an Anheuser-Busch banner. And a dog is pulling the other end. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but it's black and tan. And the two African-American children are one shades slightly darker than the other. Anyway, it's two children nonetheless. Well, I would say this is pretty racist.
Yeah, I know, exactly. So, but that's what I really liked about that was, Worst Beer Blog, they pointed this out, right? You know, this letter. It makes a really good point. I mean, back in the day, in the early 1900s, huge corporation, Anheuser-Busch, you know, they had racist ads. Now, are people fucking bringing pitchforks into their factories right
not
now?
Not yet. Hey, I'm telling you, not yet. So, there are a lot of people who are kind of scared. There are a lot of comedians out there who are scared. There's a lot of people who have things that they've said that are out there. It's like, you know, like this guy who did not get the gig in Saturday Night Live, Shane Willis.
Yeah, right, right.
He was trying to do comedy, right? So what's that to stop anyone looking at someone who's doing a movie that's doing something racist, saying something racist? I mean, how many times have you heard a white actor use the N-word?
Yeah.
Well, oh, I'm doing a movie. Well, Shane Willis was doing, or Gillis, or Hillis, whatever his name is, was just doing a podcast.
Right.
What's the difference? You know, so I it's concerning that we are at this level. It's only getting worse.
Yeah.
We're encroaching more and more into the past, and the past is getting closer to us.
Yeah.
The digital world has eliminated memory. We don't need, oddly, with all the digital memory there is, we don't need our own memory anymore. It exists.
Right.
I mean, think
about
this.
It's on the record, yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
You're always on the record.
Your children. I have a 7-week-old baby. I have taken a picture of him every single day. My wife has taken twice as many, thousands of them probably. Our other children will have an almost daily recording of everything they've done their entire lives.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's to say that something that you did is just not floating out there somewhere that, after some years of wokeness, I got to tell you, doesn't look good.
Yeah.
You know, so God forbid you're in the public eye and you get some sort of a public job and you get in trouble with someone and next thing you know they're looking you up and canceling you.
It's really weird though that they did this whole I just think it's weird that this guy who fucking shared something from from Daniel Tosh is getting reprimanded. That's just like absolutely insane.
Of course, it's only hurting a charity. So good for that reporter. I hope he feels so fucking stupid. Good for him. Okay. He didn't have a job either. So
cool.
But anyway,
what else you got, Bar?
Well, that's it. I'm gonna save the rest for some for the next one. I got some really doozies.
Cool.
Really big doozies.
All right, man. Okay. Well, everybody out there, be safe. Don't forget to lock your doors. And I guess we'll go ahead and cue the music. There it goes.
Bye.
It's such a good song.
I think we should change our music.
No, I love her music.
I don't know. The room is too harsh.
You think it's like red.
Yeah, I like a little red.
But the lighters
are built slow.